Again, it was a fast read. At least it seemed fast to us. I don't know what it seemed to you, but it seemed awful fast to us. Like it kind of flew by. And it's amazing. I left and nothing politically changed. I don't understand that. Yeah, well, I knew that was going to happen, but let's open up with prayer, and then I'll start with some news, and we'll go into this next session on the compound Hebrew names with Elohim as we continue this study on God's names. Father, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you for the rain. Thank you for bringing refreshing water to help the farmers out, to help cool it down, we pray, for us, and just pray that you'll watch over us and our health. Be with those who can't be here today. Watch over them and protect them. Give us a good time as we not only fellowship but study names about you and learn more about you through your names and your character. If we ask all this in your name, amen. Yeah, of course, the turkey thing happened when I was out west. Remember, the prime minister there, or the president, Erdogan, whatever his name is, he originally was pro this, pro that, but he's becoming more and more Islamic. Which, when you look in the Bible and you read end times things, if Turkey is the one mentioned with Russia in the Battle of Gog and Magog, you know eventually they're going to turn against Israel, against the United States, et cetera, for that all to happen. And right now I was hearing on the news yesterday coming home that he has apologized to Putin, and Putin and him are going to meet again. So it just continues to grow in what we see in the Bible and things happening around us. So they're going to get close again. Turkey and Russia are going to get to be friends, it seems like. The other thing, Jan was looking on a site last night. This will be shocking to you. Maybe it won't be. Our Secretary of State is telling all of you that refrigerators, air conditioners are more dangerous to you than terrorists. That's what I said, Secretary of State, John Kerry. Doesn't that make you feel comfortable? Your air conditioner and refrigerators are more likely to harm you than terrorists are. And see, what they keep doing, they're trying to take away your attention from what's happening in the world, from what's happening here, and going back out to that global warming thing and saying it's all because of global warming. I'm surprised no one's come out and said the heat wave we're having right now is because of, look, it's global warming. And I'm sure they have. I'm sure they thought about it. But he's trying to take your focus off the real things of what's happening in the world. He doesn't have any he just to push that agenda. It's part of that global warming thing. And, you know, I heard someone talking about this whole Democrat, Republican. You know, I said before, it doesn't really make a difference. They are not the ones, the powers to be. There are people behind the scenes that are manipulating the way this country is moving, the way the world is moving toward that global one world government, whatever you want to call it. That's what they're trying to accomplish. They're using those people, or they will be used by them to accomplish their person. Come on, people. Both Bushes talked about a new world order. Both of them. And they weren't secretive about it. They came right out in speeches and talked about it. So it doesn't really make a difference per se. They're pushing that agenda because of the powers to be above them, the ones who have money, and I mean a lot of money, are going to accomplish whatever they want to accomplish. And that's what's happening across the world. So it's going to only continue. You know, people keep asking, even people at school now, Mr. E., are things going to get better or are they going to get worse? I said, I don't know. What I do know scripturally, though, is if you believe in the Bible, I don't see things getting any better. It's just not going to get any better. We can hope, we can pray, if God's timeline is in place as God continues to move at His time, not our time, it seems to be moving toward the end. And it seems to be going faster and faster all the time. And we just have to be aware of that. And someday, we're not going to be here for it anyway. Thank heavens. We're going to be gone. That's the good part. We will be gone. Won't have to go through it. We can see it from up there. You know, it's like Jan and I were driving home from Colorado. I'm thinking, how can people vote for Hillary Clinton? Knowing what she's done, it doesn't make, they don't care. This country, for the most part, doesn't care about that. All that she's done and continues to do, people's eyes blindfolded. You know, I talk to black people at school. Well, I got to vote Democrat. Why do you got to vote Democrat for? What has he done for you in the last 8 years? Name me something he's done for you in the last 8 years. Well, nothing. Then why vote for him or for her? Most of the intelligent ones will understand and know that. But when they keep coming up with the idea of free this and you're entitled to this and free, 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 it's like the Virginia governor trying to have his prisoners, felons, be able to register and vote. I thought when you went to jail, you lost that privilege. But you know who they all vote for, don't you? Democrats. Or the ones coming in the country. Get them all signed up. Who are they going to vote for? Democrat. It's been a ploy for them for years. And I will say this. If you go back in history and look at when John F. Kennedy was a Democrat to today, it's night and day difference. Night and day difference. But because of the way the world continues to move, and God's allowing it to move in that direction to fulfill His purpose, not mankind's, fulfill His purposes, it'll continue to go that way. Our mainline press doesn't say a whole lot about Israel. You don't read a lot about them anymore, do you, in the mainline press? Yet you go to Israel Today, Jerusalem Post, Hamas is sending rockets in again. Israel has sent forces into the Golan Heights with tanks ready to invade, if they have to, into Lebanon. They've already warned them. If you continue to do that, either from Gaza or from Lebanon, we will go in this time. We're not going to play games with you. So it continues to spiral. We just need to watch and continue to discern and see what's going on. Let me just read a few things from Gatestone. We've got five names to cover. We got time. Germans debate use of force against jihadists. Are they serious? I quote, "I am a soldier of the Caliphate and am launching a martyrdom operation in Germany. I have lived among you, lived in your homes. I planned this in your own land, and I will slaughter you in your own homes and in the streets. I will slaughter you with this knife and sever your necks with an axe, if Allah permits." That's Germany's axe attacker in an Islamic State video, the guy that did the train thing. And what they're saying is, the policeman should have shot the axe and the knife out of his hand. See how this keeps spinning? This is even in Germany. And places like Denmark who allow them to continue to do what they want to do and have separate rules for Sharia law on this side of the fence and normal things on this side of the fence. And we have a president who keeps hoping that will happen here before he leaves. We have some communities that are pushing for that, that are close to having it. One not too far down the road here, maybe 90 miles away. But if you go to that enclave, you will be under Sharia, like in France. Okay? So now they said they launched an investigation to determine if the police were justified in shooting him on the train. In France, it says the socialist government imposed a secularism charter in every school, banning Christianity from the educational system. Municipalities have already changed the enrollment form for school children by eliminating the words father and mother. They're replacing them with legal manager one and legal manager two. I don't know. One must be the man, I guess. Maybe that's I better be careful. And then it quotes here, it says, this is George Orwell's Newspeak. If you read that book, it's almost like he talked about coming again. After two major terror attacks in 2015, France, instead of promoting a cultural jihad based on Western values, responded to Islamic fundamentalism with a ridiculous day of secularism to be celebrated every 9th of December. See, they keep trying to appease them, hoping it will stop what's happening, and you know their mindset. Why is it so easy for us to understand? The more you appease them, the more they think you are weak. It was that way back in the 7th century. Back that way they were conquering most of the world. It's always been that way. Nothing's changed with them. Now, I'm not saying all Muslims are bad, but it's mostly Muslims that are doing the terrorist stuff in the name of their so-called God. So Islam rises from Europe's secularism. It shows a picture of a church here. I don't want to go into this. This is in Amsterdam. The empty church is now used for exhibitions and can be rented for gala dinners. In front, there are stores of sex land offerings in front of the church. You can buy all kinds of sex toys in front of the church. And then, this is Amsterdam. Beautiful church. Picture of the church, beautiful, but no one goes there. It's just a museum. So Europe is going slow. It's been going slowly down the tubes that way for a long time. So now you can kind of see why what's happening there is happening. Okay, so don't worry about Kerry. He can talk about refrigerators, air conditioners. I told Jan maybe he should go back and work for Heinz. And maybe his wife will hire him for the Heinz ketchup company. I have no idea, but she read that and I went, what? We just keep inventing things to make you turn your... And you know what? And most Americans are going to what? They're going to believe that. They're going to believe that. And I already told you what the smart meters were going to do. If they put a smart meter on your home and you have smart appliances, be it air conditioner, refrigerator, TV, they'll control the amount of energy you use. If you're using too much, they're going to cut it down. And maybe that's what he's kind of getting at. You know, you're putting too much stuff in the ozone layers. I don't know. All right, getting to what we're supposed to be doing here. The compound Hebrew names was Elohim. I think you all have a sheet, right? The first one is El Shaddai. El Shaddai. The meaning is the Almighty God. You can write that down on your sheet. The Almighty God. It's used 48 times in the Old Testament. 48 times in the Old Testament. Shaddai has two roots, two root meanings. The first root means to be powerful. Two roots. The first one is to be powerful, emphasizing the fact that God possesses all power in heaven and on earth. Why is that important? We've learned through these names that his character, these names are important because it tells you who he is and what he does. Why is this one so important? That he possesses all power in heaven and on earth. There's no other God like him. What else? Okay, our security. Sovereign. Think about Israel. Why is it important in the case of Israel for him to have all power in heaven and on earth? So he can keep his what? His covenants he made with them. Remember that? We looked at those names way back when and how important those names meant. So that not only does he give the covenant, he's the covenant keeper. He has all the power. No one else has more power than him. Not even Satan. Satan can continue to do what he does, but in the end, we all know what's going to happen to Satan. then it pictures God as subjecting all the power of nature and making it subservient to the work of divine grace. So it pictures God as subjecting all the power of nature and making it subservient to the work of divine grace. Okay, the second root for Shaddai is breast, which emphasizes God as a nourisher and sustainer. So the second root, the word is breast, which emphasizes God as this nourisher and sustainer. As the all-sufficient one, He is the source of blessing and comfort. So no matter how bad it gets here, He's still the source of our blessing and comfort. I'll be asked by people at school, well, are you scared of what's going on? No. Not scared. I don't know if that's bad to say that. I'm not scared. I know He is the source of blessing and comfort. He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of all of us. I'm not scared. I know what's going to happen, but I'm not scared about it. Okay? Not scared. Maybe looking forward to what's going to happen. Used together, these words emphasize the greatness of God. And like Ron said, there's no other God like Him. No other God like Him. And like I said earlier, it relates God to His covenant blessings. Relates God to His covenant blessings. Whatever He said is going to happen. Related to those covenants, Israel's not been cast away, not been thrown into a pit and covered up. They're still going to receive those covenants that He promised them. And just think about how that relates to us too, with eternal security. It's a very early name for God, known experientially by the patriarchs in Genesis 17. So we can turn to Genesis 17 and we'll get an idea of just zapped it away. Out of practice. See, I touched the wrong button and it disappeared. I'm going to read it from the ASV and then jump over and show you in the Jewish Bible where it uses that word, okay? So in ASV, Genesis 17:1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, Jehovah appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am God Almighty. Okay? In the Jewish Bible, when Abram was 99 years old, Adonai appeared to Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai. Or in parentheses, it's got God Almighty. Okay? Same thing. Okay, 28:3. Genesis 28:3. In the ASV, it says, "And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a company of peoples." In the Jewish Bible, it says, "May El Shaddai bless you and make you fruitful and increase your descendants until they become a whole assembly of peoples." And then Exodus 6:3. Okay, in the ASV, "I am Jehovah, and I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah I was not known to them." Remember, we talked about that way back when. Jehovah implies covenant keeper. All he gave them was a promise. They didn't see that part being fulfilled. Okay, over in the Jewish Bible, "I appeared to Abram, Yishak and Yaakov as El Shaddai, although I did not make myself known to them by my name," and here it's got Adonai. Okay? Any questions on El Shaddai? Greatness. Able to keep everything he says he's going to do. Able to do exactly what the whole Bible talks about. Even all the way through the book of Revelation. Everything that he talks about is going to occur. But remember, it occurs on his timeline, not our timeline. Yes? No. Yes. To fit their theology is why they come up with those terms. Remember, they're gonna reconstruct terms or make terms mean something they don't really mean. So according to this study, the Hebrew is pretty clear what that word, it doesn't say determinism in there anywhere. It doesn't mean that. They're going to use it to fit their theology. So they're going to make it to where it, they're going to groom it and to make it fit what they want. Just like when they say, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God made a covenant back in before time. Where do you get that from? Where in the Bible does it say those three made a pact, I'll call it, or a covenant, to fit those covenants? See, they have to do that to fit their theology. And if you're raised that way from a child all the way through, you're probably going to believe it. So we have to be careful with terms. Go ahead, Kurt.
I was just going to say, think of it in human terms. A king like Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, he is all powerful. He is completely sovereign over his domain. Power of life and death over individuals. That's evidenced by the book of Daniel and throwing people into a fire. However, did everybody obey him at all times? Did everybody do everything that he said at all times? No, but that is by the fact that he threw people in a fire. And Daniel and just because God is sovereign doesn't mean that he is automatically in control of absolutely everything that every person does and every thought every person has. And whatever. The two are mutually exclusive. Absolute sovereignty doesn't mean absolute control. But at the same time, he can have control over circumstances because he's God. But he still, in terms of salvation, a person has to we don't believe God believes for us. It just simply doesn't teach that. But they're going to take every opportunity, every place that says anything about choice, election, choosing, sovereignty, they're going to build that in, and that's what it means.
It means by their definition.
Yeah, it's totally a presupposition, and the fact that a person has to believe in order to have salvation is clearly taught by the Bible hundreds of times. So, I don't know. You're never going to win the argument with the person unless they change their mind.
The whole word of God is that the whole thing is encouraging people to believe our God from beginning to end. And so that would be totally unnecessary if you took control of everything he's in control of. But he gave us a big choice.
He had to believe. He had to. People have to have a choice. Otherwise, what's the point of Christ going and dying on the cross? If he picks people in eternity past, who's going to be saved and who's not, why kill your son? Why not just save him and be done?
Good discussions come up through this thing. You know, that's good. Yes, Rich. All right, you're done. Goodbye. We'll talk to you later. That's the first verse he gave, the first chapter and book that he gave me. Remember, he has multiple names. Each name has different meanings. So when it starts out and says that I am Jehovah, that's that very elite name. Then he also says, though, that I am El Shaddai, I'm the Almighty One. He's giving you more description of who he is. He's appearing to them both.
Is both El Shaddai and Jehovah being used in the second part of that verse?
No. See, remember, Jehovah, he's the covenant keeper. When he makes the covenant with them, he's Elohim. Okay, those are the differences. It doesn't change who he is. It's just the Hebrew way of he's describing himself through different names for us to understand him more.
I just find it interesting that, you know, he uses Yahweh in the beginning and then El Shaddai in the second part of that verse, in a different sense than the second part.
And we'll see some other ones like that as we go through this. So the El means it's always the Elohim in front of it. So it's Elohim El Shaddai, or Elohim Shaddai should be. Okay, what was I going to say too before? Going back to, you know, replacement people or covenant people have hard time with certain passages in the Bible. One is they don't like Romans 9, 10, and 11. They don't like Revelation, the entire book, because they have no explanation for it. So they kind of just water it away. Okay? And just like this stuff, they'll add, like Kurt was saying, they'll do things to fit in what they want you to believe that they know. And in reality, when I talked to two covenant people, I asked them, I said, okay, if I take your thought all the way through to the end, then God's the author of sin. Well, no, he's not. I said, what about Satan? Does Satan have a free will or not? Well, that's different. No. Did he have a free will or did God make him sin? Which is it? Couldn't answer me. The created beings had free wills. Even the angels that fell after Satan and went with him had free wills to choose what they wanted to do. Just like we do. And those are passages they struggle with and they don't talk about them because it makes it harder to buy into that box, so to speak. Okay? El Elan. El Halan. The meaning, the Most High God. The meaning, the Most High God. Elan comes from a Hebrew root that means to be elevated. To be elevated. Primarily, it emphasizes God as the exalted one. Emphasizes God as the exalted one. And I'll leave this up here. Secondary emphasis is derived that stresses God's sovereignty over heaven. Like in Isaiah 14, 13, 14, where he's having a conversation with who? Satan. Okay? That's that sovereignty there. And over earth in 2 Samuel 22, 14 through 15, and we'll look in those passages. So the secondary emphasis stresses God's sovereignty over heaven and over the earth. He can do whatever he wants. Not for us to judge him and say, why'd you do this? Why'd you allow this to happen? He's sovereign. I don't have to ask him why. We'll come back to these verses. Then the third emphasis is on God's relationship to Gentiles in Genesis and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and we'll look at those too once you get caught up here. So three things. It emphasizes him as the exalted one. It stresses his sovereignty over heaven and earth. And the third one is it's in God's relationship to Gentiles in Genesis chapter 14. I'm going to go to Isaiah 14. We all know the context is Satan is telling God, I'm going to be like you. I'm going to sit on the Most High, etc., etc. And God is talking back to Satan at this time. And in 13, he says, and thou sayest in my heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. So Satan is calling him, there's that name, like the Most High, the exalted one. I'm going to be exalted higher than you, God. In the Jewish Bible, it says, you thought to yourself, I will scale the heavens, I will raise my throne above God's stars, I will sit on the mountain of assembly far away in the north, I will rise past the tops of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High. Okay? He's not going to make himself like the Most High. We know what happens. That doesn't take place. Okay, in 2 Samuel 22, Samuel 22, 14 through 15. This one's going to get Richard going. He may raise his hand on this one. In the ASV, Jehovah thundered from heaven and the Most High. a different word for God there. That's going to be that El Elan. Okay? So, as Jehovah thunders, but then he describes himself, and the Most High uttered his voice, and he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. In the Jewish Bible, it says, because they don't use Jehovah because of the sacredness of the name, they call it, it's all caps, Adonai thunder from heaven. Ah-Alan sounded his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them with lightning. He routed them. Doesn't make a difference. The words are used within the same two verses. He described himself here as Jehovah and then the Most High as El-Halan. Okay, just giving you more of an idea of who he is. Okay, and then Psalm 21:7. How many of you knew all these names? I knew some, but not all. Psalm 21:7 in ASV. For the king trusteth in Jehovah, and through the loving kindness of the Most High, he shall not be moved. In the Jewish Bible, for the king put his trust in Adonai or Jehovah, in the grace of Alan, he will not be moved. Okay? And then Psalm 83, we're going to close with, once we get out of the Psalms here, Psalm 83. Through 18. Fill their faces with confusion, that they may seek thy name, O Jehovah. Let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. Yea, let them be confounded and perish, that they may know that thou alone, whose name is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. And then in the Jewish Bible, fill their faces with shame so that they will seek your face, Adonai. Let them be ashamed and fearful forever. Yes, let them perish in disgrace. Let them know that you alone, whose name is Adonai, are the Elyon over all the earth. Okay? So in reality, it doesn't make a difference how many times the names can be used. He's just describing himself in a different way within that particular verse. He's the Most High God. Or like we talked about, he's the Exalted One, that El Elyon. And then the last one will be 91, Psalm 91. 9 through 12. For thou, O Jehovah, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their lands, in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. In the Jewish Bible, for you have made, Adonai, the El Elan, who is my refuge, your dwelling place. No disaster will happen to you, no calamity will come near your tent, for he will order his angels to care for you and guard you wherever you go. They will carry you in their hands so that you won't trip on a stone. And we'll get to the third emphasis next week. Any questions? We only got through two names. Yes, yo. That's your problem right there. There you go.
But going back to where start off with Genesis, God, okay? And God is Elohim. Correct? Genesis 1.
How's it spelled, God? All caps or little big G-O-D?
Genesis 1:1, God, G-O-D, capital
Yeah. Okay. Elohim. Took the Elohim off. The way he's using it within those verses. So he starts off as Elohim. If it's big L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah Elohim. And we talked about that way back when, that compound name, and what that means. Genesis 3, what, 4?